I would like to permit myself the sentimental luxury of a few introductory comments as to how we arrived at this juncture in time sitting around this table. 15 years ago, which is exactly when I arrived in Passaic, one of the first things that I had wanted was a Rosh Chodesh Mesiba, a Rosh Chodesh get-together for people to understand what the concept of Rosh Chodesh is. To be able to sit over nothing more elaborate than a couple of cookies and some coffee and tea, and maybe some soda, that we learn a little, that maybe someone say a Dvar Torah among the guests, that those assembled also be husbands and wives specifically, so that they know that Rosh Chodesh is a Yom Tov of sorts, and that's why we say Hallel, and that it is indeed a little different. 15 years is a long time to dream about something and not be able to bring that dream to fruition. Yeah. Interestingly enough, this week I completed something that I started 11 years ago. 11 years ago, after Tisha B'Av, I put together the table of contents for something that I wanted to publish for Tisha B'Av, to give to those who are in shul or for after shul a Tisha B'Av reader of sorts on all levels. Not only the parts of Torah that you traditionally learn, but historical issues and sources and texts. And it lay dormant for 11 years until this week when it was finally finished. I want to tell you for the record what I think happened as to why we are here together, aside from the fact that it is Rosh Chodesh. 10 months ago, or thereabout, Bruce Bublik asked me about a concept called Rav Kook in English. And that wasn't a book, it was a concept. I saw the look in his eyes that it meant there was searching that was far deeper than simply information that can be gotten from a book. He asked me if anything of Rav Kook was published in English. And I said I would get him the one thing that I knew was published in English. That was the Oros HaTeshuvah, the Rav Kook's classical work on Tshuva, that was translated and published by a Lubavitcher and at the same time a PhD in psychology. Thereabout, I was taken ill. And shortly thereafter also, there was the formation of the new minyan here. And for 10 months we didn't see one another until a bris, until your bris, Bobby Rogoff. It was close to 10 months. And at that bris, I gave Bruce the sefer. He asked me how much it was. And I simply told him that he doesn't have enough money to pay me for the storage, the 10-month storage. And I will extract payment in the form of a little get-together with refreshments on Rosh Chodesh. And I gave him the choice of Rosh Chodesh Av or Rosh Chodesh Elul, at which time he would invite whomever he thought would be a listening heart to the concept. And again, I call it a concept called Rav Kook's philosophy. And that's why we sit here tonight. So for me, it is an extraordinarily moving moment, because I have not been able to share this particular branch of my inspiration called Rav Kook with very many people. The last person that I did share this information with went on Aliyah several years ago.
Avigiva.
As simple as that.
Yeah.
Whether I impressed him with Rav Kook or not is irrelevant, because he was going to go on Aliyah anyway. And so we sit here, and I don't know what it means to you, but to me, well, I don't know. That's not the issue. To me, the convergence of so many things, of a 15-year dream, and this happenstance that we had with the Sefer of Rav Kook, and your funny look on your face when you asked me, when you wanted to pick my brain about Rav Kook. That time I wasn't involved in kashrus, so, you know, I didn't have to be very careful. I could say what I felt. Today, if I say a word the wrong way, so already you can't trust the kashrus that he's involved in, you see. That and the idea that I've said many times, and with this I want to begin the yikr, what we're here for. I am a Zionist. Now, if anyone is insulted by the use of the word Zionist, then you have to understand that my so-called brand of Zionism is not a political statement. Zionism as a political statement has been the equivalent of a baseless Chilul Hashem. And it doesn't matter which Zionism you go to, whether you go to ethical Zionism or unethical Zionism, call it whatever you want. It's a bottomless pit. It's a black hole of existence. I am a Zionist because of the theories of what Zionism meant to Rav Kook. And I want to try to share that with you, because it represents such an all-inclusive kind of thinking that anything and everything about what we call our Yiddishkeit is called into question. Now, quite tragically, and I don't know why, I made some notes about the chronology of Rav Kook, which I will share with you hopefully next Rosh Chodesh. I see I just did not bring it with me. Rav Kook died 50 years ago, in 1935. This is his 50th Yahrzeit. 100 years ago, in 1885, 100 years ago, Rav Kook arrived as a 19-year-old in the yeshiva of Volozhin. Volozhin was the yeshiva of Russia, Lita, Lithuania. Yes, there was a Ponovich yeshiva, but Volozhin was number one. Yes, there was a Mir, but Volozhin was still number one. Yes, there was Slabodka, Volozhin was still number one. Volozhin is the mother of Lithuanian yeshivas, claiming its direct spiritual descent from the Vilna Gaon. That is, the Talmud Muvok, the number one Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, excuse me, was Rav Chaim Volozhiner. And Rav Chaim Volozhiner had a son, Rav Yitzchak. Rav Yitzchak had a daughter who married the Netziv, Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin. Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, the Netziv, was Rosh Yeshiva in Volozhin for 40 years. The Netziv was a Rosh Yeshiva when Rav Kook came to Volozhin. In 1887, 2 years later, an interesting movement was formed. So it's 98 years ago that the Chovav Etzion in Russia and in Lithuania, a group of Zionists who were basically Russians and were from, and someone else were from, 1887, 98 years ago, formed the Chovav Etzion. In our future meetings, I will show you some of the work of the Chovei Tzion. The Netziv was one of the first from the inception to make sure that he, as the Rosh Yeshiva of Voloshin, was on the ground floor of Zionism. Here's a 19-year-old boy called Rav Kook. And the question arises, obviously, what influence did the Netziv, the Zionist, the Rosh Yeshiva, have on Rav Kook? And the fact of the matter is that there was such a mutual tie, a magnetic tie between these two, that when you speak about the Zionism of Rav Kook, it is impossible to understand it unless you go back to his Rebbe, and that's the Netziv. This is commonly not known. And that is why I want to start from the roots, from the very source. A statement that is one of the most powerful statements that the Netziv writes, and if you don't have his Chumash, it is something that has to become a standard item on your shelves. It is a tragedy that it is a maaseh satam that it is not translated into English. If I had the strength and the resources, I would have translated the Netziv before the Ramban and after Rashi. In terms of a contemporary total perspective for what we are going through today, I believe the Netziv may have to come before the Ramban, at least certainly the Kabbalistic part, the Kabbalah part of the Ramban. Chas v'shalom, I'm not doing anything to denigrate the Ramban, and if you think that, then you just don't understand what I am saying. In front of you tonight is a section of the Ramban which is at the very first of the Netziv, I'm sorry, which is at the very beginning of Breishis, and I choose it for two reasons. The two reasons will become obvious after we learn part of these 35 lines. Line 1, Zeh HaSefer, this book Breishis, HaNikra Sefer Breishis, Nikra b'fi ha-Nevi'im, in the mouths and in the concepts of Nevi'im, was called Sefer HaYoshar, the book of those who are straight. Yashar means straight. In the contemporary Zionist way, you know, when you go down to Sisal, they tell you to get something, Yashar, 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 Yashar. It means as straight as an arrow. Now, if you'll please be so kind as to skip to line 4. Umefaresh Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan writes that Zeh Sefer, that this book of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, telling of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, which is Bereishis, Shenikra'u, whose appellation, whose name was Yeshorim, were straight ones. You call Eliyahu a Navi, you call a David a Melech, you call Avraham HaYoshar, the one who is as straight as an arrow. Now that's something I dare say that most don't hear. You hear Avraham Avinu, you hear the Ovos. Rav Yochanan is Mechadesh that when you say Avraham, when you say Yitzchak, and when you say Yaakov, you must say HaYoshar, the one who is as straight as an arrow. Shenema, as it says, Bilam, when he cursed Bnei Yisrael, he said, Tomos nafshi mos yeshorim, when my soul has to die, let me die mos yeshorim, with the death that these three yeshorim died. V'yesh la'avin atam, and you have to understand the reason, lomo kara bilam es avoseinu b'shem yeshorim, b'yichud, why he specifically, b'yichud, called the ovos yeshorim straight, and he didn't use the word tzadikim, or chassidim, or Kedoma, or something like that, something that we would expect. Avraham HaTzadik, Yitzchak HaChosid. These are the words that you would want to think, why does Bilam call Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov Yeshorim? The Gamin, you also have to understand, at the end of line 6, Lama Mechuneze HaSefer B'Yichud B'Kinu Yeshorim. Not only Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are called Yeshorim, why is it that we call this book, this Sefer Breishis, the Sefer Yeshorim? And there too you have to stop for a moment. You know that there are certain sforim of the Torah that have other names, second names to it. The famous one is Vayikra, we call it Torah Kohanim. Okay? The next one is Devarim. Devarim we call Mishneh Torah, the repetition of the Torah. Bereishis we call Sefer HaYoshar. why the book and why the people in the book. Why are they used? Why do we call these people Yeshurim? Line 7 in the middle. Bilam, you've got to understand, Yispalel al Atzmo, he was praying for his own hide. Sheyeheach harisol kamo ba'alei zeh hakinui. That his end, his fate, his destiny be identical as ba'alei, the possessors of this kinui, of this appellation, Yeshurim. In order to understand this, you've got to go to another pasuk in another part of the Torah. V'hayinya, to be able to understand, you've got to go to the Nispor B'shiras Ha'azinu. You've got to go to the end of Devarim, to Ha'azinu, al ha'pasuk, where Moshe Rabbeinu writes in a pasuk, Hatzur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is a rock, Tomim Po'olo. This rock, like Mo'osur, this rock is Tomim Po'olo. Anything that he does, any pe'ula, any action that he does is Tomim, is perfect. And the pasuk ends that God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is not only Tomim, perfect, but he's tzaddik, he is just, v'yoshor hu, and he is also as straight as an arrow. And the obvious question is, the next line, the obvious question is, if you call HaKadosh Baruch Hu tzaddik, that he is just, isn't that the same as yoshor? Isn't that identical to being straight? And the answer obviously is that it means something else. Says the Netziv, you've got to understand, HaShevach, this praise that we give unto HaKadosh Baruch Hu, calling him a Yoshur, who ne'emar lahatzdik din HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'churban bayis sheni. Now you know what the concept of Tziduk HaDin is? Tziduk HaDin is with Mechas HaShalom, you have to sit Shiva, and someone dies. You say Tziduk HaDin, you justify, you accept upon yourself the righteousness of God, who is the Dayan, and the Din that he just meted out to you. This is Tziduk HaDin. Says the Netziv that when the Chumash writes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was a Tzaddik and a Yoshur, the word Yoshur in one word is Tziduk HaDin, is to accept upon ourselves the justification that HaKadosh Baruch Hu went ahead b'churban bayis sheni and destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash, because that generation shehaya dor ikesh u'psalto was a generation, and that's a quote from the Chumash, ikesh means stubborn, u'psalto means upside down, mixed up. P'salto, if you look at the Netziv in Chumash on the pasuk in Ha'azinu, he explains that the word comes from psil. You know the psil techeles? The coil of techeles, that you take one of the tzitzis and you coil it and you wind it and intertwine it until you see the blue as opposed to the white. Psil is the wick in a havdalah. What do you do to the wick of the havdalah? You braid it piece by piece, inside and out. Dor ikesh, you are a stubborn generation, you generation of the second churban, u'psaltol, you are not straight. The opposite of yoshor, straight, is psaltol. You are interwoven and crooked. The Yiddish is far better. It's called chum, fakrumt. Fakrumt means distorted, like a pretzel. It's completely distorted from the straightness that is necessary. Line 10, uperashnu. Now you've got to understand that the door of the second churban, shehayu tzadikim, they were definitely tzadikim, vechasidim, veamelei Torah, they worked in Torah, but there was something missing, ach lo hayu yisharim b'halichol salamim, but they were not straight b'halichol salamim, in the ways of the world. Now we've got to figure out what the ways of the world are, and we'll soon see what the ways of the world is. Tzadikim they were. So let us say for a moment, tzaddikim were ben odom lamoko. Chassidim they were, let's say that's ben odom lachavero. Okay? Amelim batorah, they sat in Mugmutgahorovit, the Yiddish, they worked over Torah in the study of Torah, and that generation is still as crooked, psalto. keshut salto, as crooked as could be, fakruntus could be. Why? Lo hayu yisharim b'halichos salom. Where was their crookedness? They were not straight in the way that they conducted their world. And we'll have to come back to that. Al-Kain. And therefore, because of this crookedness, because of this distortion, because of the hatred that they had in their hearts for one another, and this was the crookedness, they suspected anyone who didn't follow exactly their opinion in Yiras Hashem, Shehu Tzeduki V'Apikoros, that he is a deviant and he's an Apikoros. Now that is a powerful thing. There is a perspective here that is just, the first time I saw it, I just completely did not believe what was going on. They hated one another because of suspicion when they saw someone doing something shalokidatam the way they themselves didn't think. There was a small change, a deviation, that if you don't do it differently, if you do it differently, then it is obvious that it shows that you are a tzeduki. A tzeduki is a deviant and an apikoros. It's as simple as that.
Sounds very contemporary.
Uy vey. Now look at what's sitting around at the table. If we want to give a contemporary example, let's look at ourselves, at the way our generation decides who is a yosher, who is a tzaddik, who is a chosid, and who is, as opposed to that, a tzeduki and an apikoros. It seems to me, Bruce, that sitting at this table, Jerry Parkoff here is the biggest tzaddik. You come in as a very close, not even second, but one and a half. Yeah? Now watch. Joel, you're next. You're next. Bobby? You're next, David. I'm last on the line, the bottom of the totem pole, and I have my questions about you. I cannot rate you yet. Now let me tell you what the criterion are. Number one has the largest black velvet yarmulke in the room. Yours is a smidgen smaller, and I haven't decided whether it is because it is smaller or your head is larger than his. I haven't decided that. Then comes Joel. He's already a bit of a deviant because he's got, I think he even has a bobby pin there. It's a little smaller. Bobby, you still have a black yarmulke, but the chutzpah was that you've abandoned velvet. You've gone to Begador. You're still black, even though you, I don't know that I can eat in your house. You have a kippas mugas. You can't even talk to me because of the yarmulke that I have. And the reason I question you, I don't know how to rate you, is because I don't see your yarmulke. I want to see your yarmulke, then I'll know how to rate you. Now, if you think that I am coming to you on this Rosh Chodesh Av to entertain you, you're wrong, because if anyone knows what is going on today, and it started in Eretz Yisrael, that the black yarmulke represents a political party, your kippas lugah, your knitted yarmulke represents another political party, you are American, and I'm meshuga entirely, and I specifically took this out to be able to demonstrate this, then we're in trouble. Or are we in the same identical syndrome that we have had since the time of Churban Bayis Sheni? Are we not reliving the identical social patterns of thought that brought to the Churban? Says the Netziv, there's no question about it, that Sefer Bereishis is there to teach us why there's a Churban Bayis Sheni, because of the concept of Yosha. We are so fakrumt, we are so distorted, we have made certain symbols out of such insanities and made them the principles. And any deviation from there of the slightest iota, so that even in statistics we know that there's always a standard amount of deviation. There is always some give and take, no matter how precise you are. Nonetheless, any kind of deviation of the door of the second bias was such that you were suspect already of being a tzedoki, of being a total deviant, and an apikoros. An apikoros, you deny the existence of God. Now, that should create some problems for at least some of you, because if I am already a tzedoki and apikoros, you're not allowed to hear Torah from me. So that, you know, I will certainly not be embarrassed if anyone at this point, having learned halacha, gets up and goes. There's no question about it. The unfortunate part is that you'd be missing the next couple of lines of the Netziv. Okay? Now, this little demonstration is the Netziv's understanding of halichos olam, the way of the world. Halichos olam. Now, what does he mean by the way of the world? It took me a long time to try to discover. And it's clear. Every single human being is an individual entity unto him and herself. We all have certain distinguishing characteristics. At the same time, in order for us to be in a society together, we sort of give up a certain amount of individuality in order to be socially accepted. Now, that's normal, that's natural. The individual versus society. And there is this tension, this built-in tension. But does that mean that every single one of us, in his and her social responsibilities, is identical? Like six Frankfurters are in a package. They are the same size, shape, and weight. That's called quality control, portion control. And the answer is no. Halichos olam, the way the world functions is that we have individuality, and the flip side, we are social beings. We are unique, and each one of us does in a certain unique and own style, and has his and her own preferences. And on the other hand, we have certain equations that bring us together and keep us together as a society, and we give up our individuality. That's called civilization. Halichos olam is they were uncivilized. They were tzaddikim when it came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were chassidim when it came to mitzvahs ben adam lachavero. But there was a streak of lack of civility in them. And that was the minute there was the slightest kind of deviation from convention, the slightest kind. We're not talking about major freewheeling or free thinking. Any kind of deviation, that automatically already, you are a tzedoki, you are a deviant, and you are an apikoros. This is where they were psaltol. They were entirely krum. They were entirely arrested from the straightness of Avraham Avinu and Yitzhak and Yaakov, and he'll prove it to you. He will show you this. Al Cain, the end of line 10, and therefore, I'm sorry, the third word in line 12. Ubo'u al yedezeh, because of this particular way of thinking, they arrived, al yedezeh, because of this, liyedei shfichas domim, to the point of murder, b'derech haflaga. Derech haflaga means is we're exaggerating a little, okay? We are talking about murder not in its literal sense, right? But in its so-called borrowed sense. You know what murder means? Character assassination. Okay? That's the sinas chinam, character assassination. That when someone deviated slightly, let's call it in terms of yarmulke, or the length of his jacket. And that's why we call the short jackets yekis. Those who wore short jackets as opposed to long kapotas, yekis. The minute he deviated, you turn up your nose to that person, and you know what that did. You killed him on the spot. he's no good, his daughter is no good, his son is no good, his wife is no good, etc. and so forth. And for no good, unfortunately, I'm using no good, but there were other synonyms over there. His daughter is this, and he is that, and his wife is this, etc. and so forth. And this is a shvichas domim b'derech afloga, by borrowing the term shvichas domim, the literal term of murder. Character assassination, you understand what went on, and this brought them, continue please, l'chol hara'os sheba'olam, every ill in society, every ra, everything that can be considered bad in the world, this is what they were driven to, ad shechorav habayis, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that he had to destroy his own house. And this is why we have to say Hoyot Sidu Kadin. We have to accept God's judgment of Tzadik from the Pasuk. Tzadik v'yosharu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just. And when he sees that tzidkus, that justice goes haywire, he becomes a yosher. He straight shoots an arrow down to the Beis HaMikdash and brings the Roman legions to destroy it. Because if this is what Jewish society is going to be, there is absolutely no need for a Beis HaMikdash. And this was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's din. And we have to, with the words Yosher, that he was straight as an arrow, accept upon us the Tziduk HaDin, the judgment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was right in what he did. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yosher Hu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is as straight as an arrow. And if that's the case, Eino Sovel Tzadikim, he will not suffer from Tzadikim Ko'elu, like these so-called Tzadikim. Unless they walk straight in the ways of the world, in civilization, being civilized, and not fakrumt, not entirely distorted. And if the distortion, even if they'll claim afal gav shehu l'shem shamayim, even if it is for frumkeit reasons, that they are doing what they are doing, that they're tightening up and they want no deviation. Even if they'll yell that it's for l'shem shamayim that we did it. And no way in the world, still no way in the world is HaKadosh Baruch Hu the Yosher going to accept such tzaddikim. Dezeh gorem churban habriya, because it's this kind of tzidkus that is distorted, that brings Churban HaBriya, the destruction of the creation of the world, Vaharisus, and the decimation of Yishuv HaAretz, of the community in Eretz Yisrael. And not only Eretz Yisrael, but of the world. In the middle of 15, Vezeha Yashevacha Ovos. Now he says, now he brings the entire point to full swing. Zeha Yashevacha Ovos. If you want to praise Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, what do you praise them for? What Shevach do you give the Ovos? Avram took his son to the Akedah? That Yitzhak was at the Akedah? That Yaakov went down to Mitzrayim in Yosef? No, that's not the Shevach. Shemuvad Shayu Tzadikim. This is the way you praise in Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. If you want to tell a guy who knows nothing about Bible, about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, this is what you're telling. They were tzaddikim, aside from the fact that they were tzaddikim between Bein Odom Lamoko, the Hasidim, and that's Bein Odom Lachavero, the Ohavei Hashem, and they loved HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'ofen HaYoser Efshar, in the ultimate, aside from all that, that's not why the Ovos are the Ovos. Old Shehayu Yishorim. You've got to tell them further that they were as straight as an arrow. Hainu, that means what? Sheisnagu im umos ha'olam, that they conducted themselves with the nations of the world, afilo ovdei alili mechaorim, even the ugliest idol worshipper, they were as straight as could be. How? Mikol makom, even though these were ugly idol worshippers, hayu imam ba'ava, they lived together with idolaters, ba'ava, with love, v'choshu letovasam, and they were concerned for their welfare. Kasher he ba'asher, because another a human being concerned for the welfare and showing love for another human being, he kiyum habriya. That is the entire key to the existence of this world, and that it is that we live in a world where we must care for one another and love for one another. And if you ask me, Avram Avinu cared for and loved Ovdei Elilim Mechorim, idolaters who are the ugliest people in the world? The answer is yes, and he tells you straight away. Line 18, the second word. Kamo she'anu ro'im. If you want proof, I'll give you proof right away. Kama hishtateach Avraham Avinu lihispalel al-sdom. How much did Avraham Avinu spend energy? Lihishtateach means to spread himself out, flat on the floor, in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lihispalel al-sdom, to daven for stone. Afal gav sheho yosaneo, so even though he hated the people for what they did, the es malkom, and the king, for what he did in capturing Lot, the hate was tachlisina. It was the ultimate of hate, avur rishasam, because of their rishus, because of their deviation. Kimavor b'ma'amarol melech stone, as we know how what he said Avram to Melech Stone, that I'm not even going to take a shoelace from you. That's how much I want to run away from you. Is mikol makom, nonetheless, when it was on the brink of disaster and the entire city of Sodom and Amorah, those cities were going to be destroyed. Mikol makom, line 20, chafetz b'kiyumam. Chafetz means chafetz. He had an intense burning desire b'kiyumam, that they continue to exist. Now we come to an incredible dichotomy here. The hate that Avraham Avinu had was for what? For a person or for a concept? For a concept. Now, can I ask you something? Can you love the person and hate the concept? That's a yosher. That is someone who is straight. As straight as an arrow. You don't agree with me. Everything I say, you say different. Everything I represent, you are the antithesis. If chas v'sholem, I see that you are in danger, or that your car is being broken into, the ahava that I have for you as a human being, choshu l'tovasam, because I would want the same thing from you, stops me from any and every barriers between us. The incredible point that he is making, that Avraham Avinu has a modicum of love for Sodom. It's almost an impossible thing. Comes the Netziv and tells us, you've got to understand this, that this is emes. You know why? Because of the fact that Sefer Bereishis has a second name, and the name is Yosher. And what is the Yosher? Now, if you don't understand from Avraham Avinu what Yosher, what it means to be as straight as an arrow, then go to the door of Tzaddikim of the second bias, in other words, in Rome, the year 70, that generation of Tanoim, they were all Tanoim. Go to that generation and you'll understand what it means to be a Tzaddik, what it means to be a Chosid, what it means to learn Torah, what it means to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and be as crooked as a pretzel. It is this little piece of Netziv that probably characterizes better than any other piece of Torah that I know the contemporary situation in which we all find ourselves. Now let's relate this to Rav Kook. Rav Kook is a Zionist. Rav Kook is a mystic. Rav Kook is a social philosopher. Rav Kook is a Talmid Chacham who was rated higher than the Chazon Ish, whom he knew. And when you say this last point in the yeshiva world, they will say you're absolutely crazy. Not that you're not Bikoris, you're absolutely crazy. Take Rav Kook, who was the chief rabbi of the state of Israel, so to speak, or of the land of Palestine, and you put him together with the Chazon Ish, and they both learn together in Lita, in Lithuania. And you say that Rav Kook was a bigger Talmud Chacham than Chazon Ish? Here's my proof for it. Years ago, the Posek of America, to whom Rav Moshe Feinstein sent his shilas. How do I know? Because Rav Moshe Feinstein, when I asked him a shila, didn't answer me and asked me to go ask the shaila of Rav Henkin, Zecher Tzadik Livracha of Ezer Stara. 23 years ago, this coming week he died. 2 weeks, Yud Gimelov. The year before he died, he was totally blind and needed someone with him all day to care for him. He was not frail, but in his blindness, he wanted someone with whom he could learn and discuss Torah so he would continue learning Baal Peh. He needed someone to be his shamus. A young kollel fellow was assigned by the family to be Rav Henkin's shamus. He spent a year, day and night, with this man, with more contact than anyone else. And needless to say, when a young kollel fellow sits in the presence of such a gadol to whom Rav Moshe Feinstein asks shilas, and then he'll decide on his own, you ask some strange questions. There are heavy moments when you talk in learning, and there are lighter moments when you go ahead and you ask some simple questions. Rav Henkin's grandson asked that this fellow write down all of the things that he heard from his grandfather. And this young kollel fellow writes as follows, about 47 different insights that he received from Rav Henkin. I want to read you the one that probably more than anything else shocked me, and that is the comparison of the Chazon Ish. Kishesha'alti also, when I asked him, Rav Henkin, mi haya yaser gadol b'Torah, who is a bigger gadol in Torah, Rav Kook or the Chazon Ish, who by that time both were dead? He says, parenthetically, the writer says, I want to tell you, he never was comfortable with such a question. And he would always tell me, who could decide which one is bigger than the other? But, says the writer, when I pushed him to an answer specifically on these two, Heshivli, he answered me, Shelefi da'ato, according to his estimation, Allah Hagon Rab Avram Yitzchak Kuk Ala Chazon Ish B'Bikiyus U'B'Inyonim Acherim Ein Lo Achro. As far as knowing the totality of Torah, the B'Kiyus of Torah, number one online was Rav Kook, then Chazon Ish. As far as other areas, he cannot decide. Was Rav Kook as critical a thinker as the Chazon Ish? Was the Chazon Ish a more critical thinker? Did Rav Kook have a perspective on life that was better than the Chazon Ish or more authentic than the Chazon Ish? That ain't lo hachra. Okay? The Gam Kein Amar, and he would finish off, Shapsokim shel Chazon Ish, he says, I want you to know that the Piskei Halachos of the Chazon Ish obviously are more readily accepted by the populace, by the masses, than the Piskei Halachos of Rav Kook. But that don't mean nothing. Okay? Yeah, it means in a democratic society, when you have votes, that Psak Halacha, the one who has more, he's in and the other one is out. But Zudaka Shel Torah, this is the way Torah is run. By popularity. If that's the case, then the Godel Ador should be the editor of Oscroll. Rav Nosson Sherman is the Godel Ador, because he sells more than even all the Chumashim these days. No two ways about it. Rambam takes fourth place. Rashi takes sixth place. Ramban doesn't even figure. But the question still begs to be asked, what about this business of Rav Kook's Zionism? And Rav Henkin himself said openly many times, but especially to this one, that as far as his shittus in Zionism, he is congruous and identical with Rav Kook. There's only one small disagreement that he has. And if Rav Kook were alive, and mind you, he died in 1935, if Rav Kook were alive, he would probably disagree to all of the bloodshed that was going on behalf of the State of Israel. Now, what that means, I don't know. Okay?
Rav Henkin said that Rav Kook would be upset at the bloodshed.
At the bloodshed, yeah. Now, what that means...
This is the one year...
When did Rav Henkin say this? Yeah. 22 years ago. Rav Kook was dead. 22 years ago was after the State of Israel and after the Sinai campaign.
But before the Six-Day War.
Okay? excuse me, I'm wrong. After the Six-Day War. He died in Toshin Lamed Gimel. He died 13 years ago, not 22 years ago. 13 years ago. 67 and 13 is 1980. It was after the Six-Day War. I'm wrong. Forgive me.
13 years ago, that's the
70th
Yom Kippur War.
74 is the Yom Kippur War. It's not after the Yom Kippur War. Okay? In any event, Bederech Klal, he says, in general, Da'ato Ha'isa Maskemes Rav Henkin agreed with the Hashkofos of Rav Kook, Zichrona Livrocha. U'kishesha'alti Yasa Al-Ados HaKomas Medina Yisrael, when I asked him about the establishment of the State of Israel, Zonoli Shah Rav Kook, he said that Rav Kook wouldn't have gone ahead with all the wars ushvichas domim and the bloodshed to establish a state. Well, I got news for you. I don't think there's anyone who would go along with it if there was a choice. It's obvious.
What made him to that conclusion?
Because the life of one Jew is too holy. Spilled blood. Simple as that. Now, this is his conjecture, there are no two ways about it, but after all is said and done, if I asked you the question, is Rav Henkin a Zionist? The answer is yes. In what style is Rav Henkin a Zionist? In the style of Rav Kook. It's only conjecture, as we know it, as to what he would think about the military aspect. And he said before, Ein lo achra. I mean, he really, there are certain areas where he just cannot decide. Rav Kook had a son. Rav Kook had a son. And it's clear that the son learned all his Torah from his father.